So today's daf is daf Nun. I'm going to start with Omar Avilah, which is three lines down from the top. And this year is dedicated for Refuah Shleima, for my mother-in-law, Dvorah Chana Bas Ratza, who's now in the hospital. Omar Avilah, Be'usha Eskinu. They made a takana in Usha. A person wants to give tzedakah. He's very magnanimous. Hamavazbeis, when he gives over his mos to aniyim, al yivazbeis yoser michomesh. He should not give more than 20% of his assets, because we're afraid that at the end of the day, he himself might become an ani, might become poor, and he'll have to beg for help from the people. Tanya Nami Hochi, we have a brisa to support this. Hamavazbeis, Ayivazbeis, Yosef Michomish. Shemi Yitztarech Lebrios. That at the end of the day, he may have to come on to others, and there's no point to give tzedakah in order to receive tzedakah. Maisa Be'echad Shebikesh Avazbeis, Yosef Michomish. There was some very important individual wanted to give more than 20% of his assets. And one of his great scholarly friends objected and would not allow him to do so. Who was this person? Rav Yeshevov. I think if I remember correctly, he was one of the Asarugei Malchus. The Amrile, according to the second version, Rabbi Yeshevov was the one who wanted to give more than 20%. Rabbi Kiva stopped him. Om Rav Nachman, Vitema Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Maikra. This is a very strange Gemara. The Gemara is asking, what's the scriptural basis for the ceiling, the maximum of tzedakah of 20%? Now, why are we looking for a pasuk for this? This is a takan of Chachmei Usha. So you're going to derive from a pasuk a takan of Chachmei Usha. So it doesn't fit in. So Ram Shif explains that the takana was instituted in Usha not to spend more than 20%, but you should be spending 20%. That's the lechatchila, the ideal situation. And the Chachamim didn't know, where is there any sort of an illusion, a remez in the Torah, that if all things are equal, you should be giving 20%. And again, Ula is going to be mesaken that you don't give more than 20%. But apparently, there's a scriptural basis for giving 20%. Om Rav Nachvi Temer Rav Acha Bar Yakmai Kro V'chol Asher Titen Li Aser Asrenu Loch. Yaakov Inu pledges a double maser. One maser, and on top of that, a second maser of all his monetary possessions. And Yaakov's pledge now becomes the paradigm for our giving of tzedakah. Now, the language of the pasuk seems to indicate that first he shaved off 10%. Now he's down to 90%. Now he takes 10% of 90%, which will be 9. So at the end of the day, he's only giving 19, not 20%. So the Gemara asks for holo dummy. Isura basol, isura kama. The first maaser was 10%. The second maaser is only 9% of the original whole. So he's not really giving 20%. This is a very weak, kind, a non-meticulous mathematical calculation of 20%. Omar Avashi, asrenu lebasra kikama. I will give the second maaser, Yaakov pledges, as if I was giving the first maaser. In other words, the same quantity as I would have given on the first round of maaser, I will give on the second round. So the second maaser is equal to the first maaser, in total 20%. Om Rav Shimi Barashi Shmuo Salolu. We had three different transmissions in the name of Chachmei Usha, but in each case, there were Amorayim, or at least one Amora, minimally, that was quoting the Chachmei, the Takanot Chachmei Usha. And Mismatos Vaholchos, the tradition, like let's say Avram says something in the name of Yitzhak, who in turn says something in the name of Yaakov, that's a triple tradition. The traditions go down. Mismatos v'holchos. So for example, if you take the first transmission, that was Reish Lakish in the name of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. The second one was in the name of Reish Lakish. And the third one was Rabbi Eloi himself, not in the name of anyone. V'simonech k'tanim kosvu ubizbizu. So a mnemonic device to remember this is that k'tanim, which means the obligation of parents to support their young children, kisvu, a person who writes all his possessions to his children, and what's going to be with his almana, his widow, she has rights to collect her mezonos from the estate that he left for his son, ubizbizu. And when you spend your money for tzedakah, 20% is the maximum. So we have two mnemonic devices. One mnemonic device is to tell you that the traditions go down in number from two in the name of Husha to one in the name of Husha to that person himself quoting Husha. And then there's a mnemonic device to remember that these were three takanos. One takana was to support the young children. The other takana was that if you write all your nechassim to one child, the wife and the bas have rights to collect their mezonos from that estate. And thirdly, you should not spend 20%, more than 20% of footstock. Omar Rabbi Yitzhak Ushas Kinum She Odom is Galgil im Bino. Okay, what does this mean, Misgalgil Impno? What we're about to learn is another takana of the Sanhedrin of Husha with regard to teaching young children Torah by sending them to a cheder. And the young children are very sensitive and vulnerable, and therefore, ad shtemesrei shana, be very careful, like, treat the child with kid gloves. And that's called bimis galgil, meaning if the child is not learning properly, and he's somewhat rebellious, refusing to study, don't come down hard on him until he's 12 years old. Mikan v'elch, once he's mature, he's 12 years old, yored imo l'chayev. If he's not learning properly, you could really calm down hard on him. Again, back in the day, they used to use even physical force, or they would deny the child his lunch, whatever it would take to set the child on the right path. But you have to wait till he's 12 years old. Ani is this so? Va'omer le'rav l'rav Shmuel bar Shilat, shivisi Hashem l'negdi sov in Shilat. B'tzir mi'bar shis. If the child is less than 6 years old, lo sikabel, don't force him to learn Torah. Barshis, once he's already 6 years old, kabel usfile kisora. He's 6 years old, and you force feed him like you force feed an animal, an ox. So from the age of 6 to 12, we're already forcing the child, and we're using extreme harsh measures to see to it that the child is towing the mark. And you just told me that, no, we wait till he's 12. And the Gemara offers two reconciliations, but in both cases, we accept both. What does that mean? In Svele Kitora, if the child is already 6 years old, force feed him like he was an ox. Mihu eino yored imo lechayov. You can try to force him and you can try to coerce him, but don't use any physical force against a six-year-old child. Not the ritzua, the strap, and not certainly to deny him food. Speak to him quietly, benachas, until he's 12 years old. Ad liachar shtei mesrei shana. Then, yored imo lechayim. Iboy seima, lo kasha. This braisa is not difficult for Rabbi Yitzchak, who quotes the takanas usha that we wait till the child is 12. Ha lemikra, ha lemishnah. When we're talking about mikra, we can teach young children, even at the age of 6, to study mikra. And this is, of course, Torah Shebichsav. Then, we have Rabbi Yitzchak's takon of usha, and we're not going to force the child to study Torah until he's 12. That's a reference to Mishnah, meaning to Torah Shebaal Peh. Tosus asked the question, the Mishnah, the fifth parak of Avos, says Ben Eser le Mishnah. Here, it seems to indicate that he's 12 years old and he's studying Mishnah. So Tosus points out here, Dira Masel Shia Hei, which is the third Tosus down from the top, that Legalgel Imo Bidvarim, that early stage in which we're very calm and soft in our dealings with the child, and we're not Yored Imo Lechayev with the Ritzua and so forth that we discussed, that we're going to wait till 12 years old. However, already at the age of 10, we are teaching the child Mishnah, Torah Shebaal Peh. The Omer Abaye Omer Li Em, my mother said to me, again, mother for Abaye means his nursing mother. His mother died at childbirth. Bar Shis, once the child is 6 years old, Le Mikra. And 6 years old here means into the sixth year. Ben Eser, right, he's already into his 10th year, is Limishnah. Bar Tlesar, he's already Bar Mitzvah, he's 13 years old. L'tan Nisa, Meisles, he has to fast the entire Yom Kippur, all 24 and a half hours. Ubetinokes, Bar Tresar. And a girl at the end of 12, at the age of 12. So all the Mefarshim ask the question, what here is Abai coming to add? Is he coming to teach me that once you're bar mitzvah, you have to fast the entire fast, or bat mitzvah? I mean, that seems to be a simple doraisa halacha. I mean, what is Abai coming to tell us? So he quotes here many Rishonim who say that what Abai means when he says Bar Tlesar, he means going into the 13th year. He's really only 12 years old. At the age of 12, a boy is required to fast the entire 24 hours of Yom Kippur. In the case of a girl, she's going into her 12th year, which means she's 11 years old and already she is required to fast. 1 year before Bar Mitzvah, 1 year before Bat Mitzvah. And now we get to some Talmudic medicine. Omar Abaye, Omar Li Em, I have the following tradition. Hai Bar Shis, a six-year-old child, Ditakale Akrava, he was bitten by a scorpion. Biyoma de Mishlam Shis. On the day that he became 6 years old, he finished his fifth year, he's now 6 years old. Lo Chai, he doesn't have much chance of survival. such a young, vulnerable child was bitten by a scorpion. I'm talking about a yellow, you know, a poisonous scorpion. Unless we can save his life with an urgent medicine. Mayasuse, what's this urgent medicine? Like, teach me how to do it. Today they say you make a serum out of the toxic substance that came from the scorpion and you inject that into the body. Very interesting. But anyway, Abai's refuah was the following. Marirta didaya chivarta. Okay, I only understand the word chivarta. Chivarta means white. What's marirta? Marirta is called in Hebrew mara. And daya is a bird in Parshas Re'eh, which by the way is a non-kosher bird, but that's not relevant to us because we're going to take the gallbladder of this bird called a daya. And again, it's a white daya. And we're going to mix that with shikra, with beer. So now we have a liquid that's mixed with beer, and it's very sticky, very thick. Nishfiye, we rub it onto the body of the child, vinashkiye, and he drinks whatever remains in the concoction. Haibarshata, a young child who's just 1 year old. The Tariq Le Zibura. Zibura in Hebrew is called Tzira'ah. In English, I think it's called a hornet. Right? The sting of a hornet could be very dangerous. And now we're talking about a baby. B'yomad Elisham Shata, and it's the last day of his first year of his life. Lo Chai won't survive. Today they give you, you know, injections. Maya Sute, how do we save such a child? Atzvasa de Dikla v'maya. Oh, a Dikla, I know what it is. Dikla is what's called a date palm. And we're taking something from that date palm and soaking it in water. What are we taking? Atzvasa. He says here in the Hebrew translation, Atzvasa is siv hagadel sviv hadekel. Right, if you ever see the bottom of a dekel tree, you'll see that there's these vines, I guess you call it, that twine. Is there a word twine? Anyway, they go around and around. And you take that, you soak it in water, nishve, and you smear it on his body, vinashke, and whatever the left over the liquids, he drinks. Amar Rav Ketina, kol ha-machnis es bino pochos mi ben sheish. Now we said before that if he's a child of less than 6 years old, his composition is very fragile. It's not a good time to send him by bus, you know, to the cheder. Rotz achra. What you're going to eventually have to do is you're going to have to run after him and get the best doctors to save his life. V'eino magio. He'll still remain very weak and he's in a life-threatening situation. Ika diamri. Now we have another interpretation of these words, rotz achra. Rotz achra doesn't mean that the father is running after the child and running after every doctor to try to save the child's life, but rather, chaverov rotz achra. This young, precocious child is outstanding in Torah knowledge. His friends are going to be so jealous, they're going to run after him. And they want to become as great of a chacham as he is. V'ein magiyin oso. They'll never be able to reach his level of scholarship because he started at the young, immature age of six. So we have two Lashonos here about Ratzim Achrov, and now the Gemara is going to try to reconcile them. Travayu Isnu, they're both correct, for one of two reasons. Either Chalish V'Gamir, it means we're talking about one child, and he's weak in his body, but he's great in Torah. Again, I don't know if the Gemara is encouraging you to send him at that young age, especially if he's weak. But Lamaisa, he's great in Torah. He started at a very young age. Iboy Seima, maybe we should say that these two statements are referring to two different children. Hade Kachish v'hade Barya. You have a child whose composition is very vulnerable, very weak. He should not be sent to school before he's 6 years old. You have another child who's Barya, he's quite healthy in his body, and he's stark, he's strong. And then we can take him at an early age to the Talmud Torah, and he'll become a great, wise sage. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanin, another takon of Usha, Ha'isha Shem Machra B'nichsei Malok. Now watch what happens. A woman brings in possessions into the marriage. And her husband, by virtue of the ksuba, acquires ownership over those nechasim, such that he can profit from them. So if she brings in an apartment, a flat, then he can rent it out and take the rent for himself. She went ahead now and she sold it. But in effect, she is selling something which belongs to her husband. He has rights to her Nichse Maluk, and she's trying to undermine those rights by selling it and making a profit. It's therefore Bechai Baila, she did this during the lifetime of her husband, Umesa, and then she died. Habal motzi biyad alekuchos. The Baal comes over to the buyers, confiscates that property from the buyers, because he was first. Already at the time of the Nisuin, he became a lokeach. He became an owner over those nechasim. And when she sells them, she's undermining his pre-existing kinyan. Ashkechei Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, l'Rabbi Avo, t'havi koi b'chlusa de'usha. So Rabbi Yitzchak encountered Rabbi Avo in the open public squares of Usha. Amarle. So Rabbi Yitzchak asked a question to Rabbi Avo. Man mara d'shmaita de'usha. Who is the one who quoted Usha on this point, on this takana regarding Nichsei Maluk? Amale, so Rabbi Avo responds, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. As we just learned, it was Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Tana minei arboin zimnin. Here we have Machlokas Rishon. Rashi says that Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yosef, right, reviewed 40 times the fact that it was Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, who brought down this halacha, transmitted the halacha of Holcheyush, of the Takan of Holcheyush. Other Rishonim learned differently. They learned that he repeat, because what does it mean? 40 times he had to repeat the name Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. What's going on over here? But rather it means he reviewed the Takan of Usha and its content 40 times. Kimanda manchile bekiste, as if it was here in his back pocket. And this Gemara is really coming to emphasize, at least according to Rashi, how important it is to transmit the Torah the name of the person who was Machadish that Torah. In Tehillim it says, Ashrei Shomrei Mishpah. We have a short Agadah to hear. Osei Tzedaka B'choleis. Fortunate is he who does Tzedaka all the time. The Gemara doesn't understand. But rather, Dorsha Rabbi Sein Shavi Yavne V'Yamrulei, Rabbi Eliezer. Others say it was Rabbi Eliezer who had this drasha. Zehazon Bonov Ubnosov Kishen Ktanim. We just paskined, and this was yesterday's discussion, that according to the strict letter of the law, parents are not obligated in the mizonos of their young children. He went ahead on his own as an act of tzedakah to support and feed his children from his own pocket. And that's called tzedakah b'chol eis. What does it mean, b'chol eis? Every moment, day and night, the child needs support and the parents support him. That's called tzedakah b'chol eis. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani already has an alternative interpretation of the pasuk. Zamagadol yosam yisom v'toch beiso. When a person raises, like we call them foster children and so forth, or adopted children, then basically every single moment when he's raising that adopted child and feeding the child and paying for his education or whatever else, that's all ongoing tzedakah. And then it says, umesion. Not only does he raise the child, who's a yosom or a yosoma, but he marries them all. Another pasuk in Tehillim, hon v'osher bebeisov, it's in koso medes la'ad. He retains all his possessions, all his money, all his wealth, and yet his tzedakah is la'ad. It's for all eternity. How do you understand that? Rav Huda, Rav Chizda. They both had their own take on this drasha. Chadom, according to one opinion, Zeh lo mei Torah melamda. When you teach Torah, you don't lose anything. You're not giving up your own wealth. On the contrary, mekom lum dai eskalti, you get even sharper when you teach Torah. Chadom, another interpretation, Hakosev, Torah, Nevi'im uksuvim. He's got his own Tanakh that he wrote. U'mashilu l'acherim. It's like, for example, I remember my good friend Teddy used to live in this neighborhood. He had all the Megillos. And in shul here, in the Ashkenazi shul, they would always borrow his Megillos, you know, to read it, whether it was Eicha, whether it was Megillos Esther, etc., etc. So on the one hand, you're doing tzedakah by allowing others to benefit from your sefarim, but on the other hand, you're not giving up anything. You haven't lost what you have. It's kind of like, you know, in the art world, they have something called on loan. Right? You go to a museum, and you'll see a little label on the back, on loan from, you know, Rothschild, whatever. So it still belongs technically to the owner. But on the other hand, he's allowing other people to enjoy the benefit of it. Another pasuk in Tehillim. Urevanim levanecha shalom al Yisrael. So you talk about grandsons and shalom al Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kevan shebanim lebanecha, when you have sons to your son, or the grandsons, shalom al Yisrael, delo osi lidei chalitza v'yibum. There's not going to be any situation of yibum because your son has children. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omar, kevan shebanim lebanecha, once there are children to your children, shalom al dayani Yisrael. If I had to translate these words, shalom al dayani Yisrael, I would do it in the following way. You'll tell me if you think I'm right. I don't know. It's going to be a light workload for the dayanim. They can go on vacation. Why? There won't be any battle over the estate. Dayanim in a choshe mishpat bezdin will spend untold hours, almost like a full-time occupation, trying to weigh and investigate claims and counterclaims about who the Yerusha belongs to. Today they have something called, what's the word? Help me out here, guys. You appoint some, trustee, right? They have a trustee. You appoint a trustee who oversees the division of the inheritance. Now, why is lo asi l'tzuye? This I didn't really chop. He says, Madua im kein omar kosuv, kevin sheyesh banim lebanecha, he quotes from our show, asks the question, all the Seder HaYerusha is written in the Torah explicitly in Parshas Pinchas. In Parshas, yeah, I think it's in Parshas Pinchas, right? So, Madu Yeh Meriva Ben Akrovim, if it's Mefurish in the Torah. Let's go on. The Mishnah says, Zeh Midrash Dorash Rabbi Lozor Lufnei Chachamim. So we'll read the Mishnah. It says, "Habonim Yiroshu v'Habonos Yizonu." Ma Habonim Eim Yorshim El Yachamisas Ha'av. Af Habonos Eim Yizonos El Yachamisas Ha'av. Right. So he has no obligation to support his children while they are growing up. After his death, the Yerusha is transferred over to his Bonim, and the Bonos on Yizonos, and now they will get their share of Mizonos from the inheritance from the estate. So when we say that Bonim and Yoshim El Yachamisa, and therefore Bonos and Onizonos Lachamisa, it's all based on this analogy of these two Takonos that Chachomim is Sakin, which are a Chova in the context of marriage to write a Ksuba with those stipulations.